Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy Wallace, and I host this show. And tonight, I have a great guest. Her name is Catherine. And so, Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nancy.
Now, Catherine, I'm going to ask you a little bit about yourself so you can explain to the listeners who you are and what you do. And then I'm going to ask you some more questions. How's that?
Great.
So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do, and then I'll start with the questions.
Sure. Well, my name is Catherine Andries, and I co-direct the School of Intuitive Arts and Sciences with my husband. And it's a school that's dedicated to teaching people about who they really are, you know, reincarnation, the soul, self-development, life purpose, you know, the evolution of consciousness. And so that's really where, for the past 15 years, I've had my focus in helping people understand their true nature and their life purpose. And so through different schools and different avenues, I've been teaching metaphysics to people, and that's really my passion, along with writing.
That's neat. When you talk about to let people know who they really are, what kind of techniques do you use to help people figure that out?
Well, we start with the basics, which is concentration, and then we move on to meditation. That's really like the cornerstone of our work, because so many people have so much chatter going on in the conscious mind that they can't even begin to connect with, you know, their true self, their inner self. And so by teaching some basic techniques on how to concentrate and focus, and then meditation, we really help get people in touch with who they are. And then we have a different series of classes that teach them different aspects of that. For example, we teach dream interpretation, which is actually just the subconscious mind giving messages to the conscious mind in the form of symbols. And so that's another way that we help people see who they really are. We also teach a lot about visualization and creating, because we also teach that we're natural-born creators and that we all have this ability to create from thought. And so we have a course on how to create and visualize and manifest. And then we go into the higher levels of classes where we teach things like astral projection. So people actually get to experience looking at their body from afar, going outside of their body. And that's when people really begin to see, wow, I'm more than this physical body. So those are some of the main different ways that we teach, you know, people how to get in touch with their true self. Oh, and of course, reincarnation, where we explore past lives with people so they see that, you know, they are eternal, that the soul is the part of themselves that has been here since the beginning of time, and this physical body is just an encasing for a particular lifetime. And so that's a big part of our work also.
Do you think that a lot of people have a hard time believing about reincarnation, or do you think that people are starting to accept it better now and actually starting to respond to the idea that maybe there's more to it than just the physical body?
You know, I think there is just a gradual awakening amongst the population in terms of the idea of reincarnation. So, you know, like I said, I've been teaching these topics for about 15 years, so I would definitely say that over time I have noticed more and more people accepting the idea of reincarnation. It's interesting, though, because when I teach the class, I don't start off with the premise that, you know, this class is here to convince you that reincarnation exists. I really just start from the premise of, well, let's explore this. Let's see what we could learn. How could it benefit us to begin to explore our past lives? So from my standpoint, I'm not attached to whether the person, you know, is convinced of reincarnation at the end. I just make it kind of a fun exploratory process. And through the past life readings that we do, you know, I teach that, you know, if any of this information that you glean from the readings can help you in this lifetime, then great.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's kind of how we approach it. And so I find that most of the people that take our class in reincarnation, usually if they didn't believe it before, they do after.
Yeah. See, I'm a very firm believer in reincarnation. And when I talk about it to people, they go, well, how, you know, it can be possible. And I just ask them a couple questions. Like I say, well, if there's a little bitty baby and a newborn, and they know nothing or supposed to know nothing at the moment, what do they dream about? What are they laughing about when they're asleep? What do they cry about? And they look at me like I'm weird. I go, think about it a little bit. Because they have to have some form of memory coming from someplace if they're newborn and they indeed don't have one.
Yeah. That's great, because most people can relate to that. And I also, you know, since having my child 2 years ago, I've noticed, you know, little kids, 1 year old, have personalities and they know certain things. And I talk to people, how do you think they knew that, you know, if you didn't teach them that? And so I think that's a great place to start is studying kids.
Oh, I think kids are the best place to start because their memories are still really strong. And what happens is people tend to get a little older. They also tend to get things blocked or told that they're weird or strange and they're not supposed to do stuff like this. So they usually tend to shut it down. So, I mean, kids, to me, are the best place to start with almost any of the metaphysical stuff.
Yeah, and I hope one day that we have more kids coming to our programs. We've just begun a kids camp program where we've had as young as 5 years old, where we just teach them basic metaphysical principles, and it was great. So I think as more parents wake up to this, they'll be more willing to, you know, introduce their kids to it.
Catherine, can you tell people where you're located?
Sure. We're in Fox River Grove, which is between Barrington and Cary in the northwest suburbs.
And that's in Illinois.
Oh, yes, in Illinois. And we're right across the street from a train station that goes right into the city of Chicago, so it's great for people who want to come in from the city.
Yeah, that is. It's really good. Do you have, like, a website out there?
Yes, it's intuitiveschool.com.
Okay, and so if they go onto your website, they can learn about all the stuff that's going on. And what else might be on your website?
Well, we list all our classes, calendar. We have descriptions about our different teachers, their backgrounds, and so forth, and a little information about our mission and vision and, you know, different resources, and then we have different links to other sites related to metaphysics that we like.
Which is pretty cool. You talk about dream interpretation, and it's mostly symbols. So a lot of times when people have dreams, maybe like a dream of death or something, is there like a symbol for that that maybe you can explain to the people? Because when I'm doing readings, I get a lot of that.
Sure. That's a great symbol to teach people. Basically, what we teach is what's called the universal language of mind, which is the language of pictures. And so we teach people that when you dream, you never dream in words, you dream in pictures. And that's the language of the subconscious. And so everything is the function to understand a symbol. So we look at the function of death, which is really a change, right? If you die in the physical world, you change from a physical form to back into your spirit form. Mm-hmm. And so in the language of dreams, it indicates change. So it doesn't mean that you're going to die. It means that there's been some change, and you're going to be doing something different.
And again, I think it's kind of important because people say, oh, I had this dream about death. It's like, yes, but death really in a dream doesn't necessarily mean death. Sometimes it could also mean that there's going to be a baby born someplace, you know, because it is a transition. It's different.
Yeah, kind of transition, yeah.
You know, and they tend to panic going, oh, it's such a horrible dream. It's like, well, yeah, but what was with the rest of the dream? Because there could be a lot of symbols of stuff there that you're not quite, you know, picking up on. So I think dream interpretation, a lot of people, I think, would be really excited to learn about that.
Yeah, we currently have a dream interpretation class going on right now. And the neat thing is about the way we teach it. I know there's a lot of different methods out there. And some, it's like you have to memorize all the symbols because there really isn't a rhyme or reason to what they mean. But the way that we teach it, you know, everything goes back to what is the function in the physical world. So you could take any symbol, and once you learn, you know, how to interpret it according to the function, for example, if you dream of a car, we teach, okay, look, what's the function of a car? Well, it gets your body from point A to point B. So in the language of dreams, a car represents your body, because what gets your soul from point A to point B? Well, it's your body. So a car represents your body. And so using that technique, you can really get to the bottom of what any symbol means in the dream.
Which, again, I think is kind of neat, because people do get kind of lost in that, or they sit around and they wonder, what does this mean and what's going to be going on, and they tend to get themselves all kind of panic-stricken and stressed out over it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for dreams, for a lot of people, is really scary. And just, you know, one simple interpretation for 5 minutes can relieve somebody's stress or anxiety. I remember I had somebody who, you know, kept dreaming that her husband was having an affair with the neighbor. She thought, you know, that meant was real. And, you know, I explained, well, first of all, everybody in the dream is only an aspect of you. And so your husband is actually an aspect of you, your neighbor is. It's all about you, and that's one thing that can change people's perception about dreams is that it's always just about you.
Mm-hmm.
Although there are precognitive dreams, which some people have the ability to be able to see into the future and receive dreams about future happenings. And that's a special type of dream, and not everybody has those kinds of dreams, so that's kind of a special area that we teach also.
Which that also would be important because, again, I know growing up as a child, I used to get all kinds of stuff, and I didn't really know what they all meant. I mean, I'm seeing it all now, you know, but I didn't know what it meant at the time. And it's like, so there would have been somebody back in my time that could have said, hey, Nancy, you know, this is a way to kind of get through things, or this will help you out. That would have been really nice. But when I was a kid, we didn't really have that because we were considered to be strange or weird, so I never really even told anybody what I was getting as a child.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of us as kids have to keep those things to ourselves. So,
mm-hmm. Do you think that most people or all people have psychic ability?
I think everybody can develop it. I wouldn't say that everybody is born with knowing how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody has the ability to develop that and can be great psychics. Yes, definitely. I mean, it's our sixth sense. And so, especially from, you know, past life work, a lot of the people who have done a lot of past life work with that are born just with it naturally, and other people have to work at it. It just means that that's an area of life that, you know, in past lives, perhaps they haven't developed. So,
mm-hmm. Have you found that a lot of people who have accidents that relate to head injuries or, you know, back injuries or anything will open up their third eye quicker than somebody who's just trying to open it?
You know, I think it depends on a case-by-case basis. Sometimes, you know, a real tragic wake-up call like a car accident or something does wake people up, and they get on the metaphysical path and they develop or open up that third eye. I think for other people, you know, they still may not get the wake-up message, and they don't explore that, so I think it's on an individual basis.
Yeah, because when I was a kid, when I was like 6 years old, I had a really freak accident where I should have died or been paralyzed. And, of course, I was neither one. But that's when everything started happening for me, and I was only six, you know. And so, but I, you know, I wrote a book about my life called Raised by Angels because that's really how I was raised. I mean, I kept hearing angelic voices talking to me and everything, and they would not really let me explain to anybody what I was thinking or what I was feeling. They just told me that's not my concern right now. You know, a lot of things
mm-hmm.
will let you know when you can use it. So I followed what they guided me to do, and it actually turned out quite well. But a lot of people, I think, that have an accident and something like what happened to me starts happening to them, they think that they're weird or crazy or they're losing it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's when they sometimes either shut down or B, they explore and try to figure out what really, you know, is going on.
Do you think a lot of the children that are here today that they are constantly saying cannot focus or they have ADD, ADHD, probably have a great deal of psychic ability? And they
I definitely think that that's the case. I think it's always been the case. You know, I don't necessarily think that the whole ADD thing and everything is new. I think it's always existed, but they didn't have labels for it. You know, they had accounts of Mozart, you know, saying that he would have been considered ADD in his time, and a lot of the other great thinkers, you know, Einstein and so forth, would have been considered, you know, ADHD just because they were kind of working from a different realm. So I think those kids receive a lot of intuitive messages. They hear a lot of voices. They hear a lot of things, and, you know, they don't know what to do with it, and so they have a problem focusing.
Mm-hmm.
And once they, you know, kind of learn how to focus and understand what they're receiving, then I think they can channel all that energy into something instead of just being, you know, all over the place and kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a nonprofit organization called the Child's Miracle Mind, and it really is designed to help children get off of the prescription drugs or not ever be put on them by using all the knowledge and wisdom that we have from the metaphysical world.
Oh, that's wonderful, Nancy.
And it will be eventually turned into the School of Now, which will be the kids will learn all the things they need to learn, but they will also be learning a lot of metaphysical techniques to help them get through what we're going through and to understand how to help themselves in the process. And so, you know, part of it is ADD, ADHD, part of it is autism, because a lot of the children that are diagnosed with autism have a great, great mind, and yet someplace it's trapped, or they are so highly evolved, like, you know, Bill Gates, or the person who invented the Dell computers, that they're at the high end. And so you have the low end and you have the high end. So to me, everybody has to fall someplace in those ranges with something.
Yes, yes.
But I think using a lot of the metaphysical techniques, which is what you're also talking about, is a great way to help not only the children, but a lot of adults try to figure out better, like you said, who they are. Because people come all the time, they go, well, what's my purpose in life here? And it's like, well, what do you think it is? You know, because you really know what it is. You just haven't figured it out, really, or you don't quite know how to figure it out. But, you know, if you sit and ask them questions, they start to figure out better what they're here for.
Exactly. Yeah.
So if somebody comes to your class, how long are your classes?
Well, they vary in length. Typically, they run anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks. We also have one class that's called Discover Your Life Purpose, which is actually 8 weeks. That's probably one of our longest classes, just because it's so in-depth. We actually take people through 6 different paths of finding out who they are. So 4 to 6 weeks, and then we have that 1 8-week class. We do have some one-day workshops and things, so it pretty much varies, but we make them flexible enough so that you know, evenings, weekends, so that anybody with any kind of schedule can, you know, find one that fits their needs.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, I think is pretty important. Now, do you do, like, remote classes? In other words, do you put something, like, on the Internet so that people who are not in the area can also learn?
We will be moving into online classes. We do currently offer correspondence classes. So if somebody does live out of state, they can do our class by correspondence, which includes actually live phone consultations with the teacher. And we hope to be moving to online classes soon.
Which I think would be really, really good, because a lot of people are looking for online classes and they're not quite sure where to go or how to find them out. Now, do you do astrology?
Yes, I actually am an astrologer also, so I do teach astrology. I'm currently teaching an astrology series that will actually lead someone to be able to be a practicing astrologer themselves. And we also teach a little bit of astrology in the Discover Your Life Purpose class that I was just mentioning as one of the paths to understand our life purpose.
Which, again, is real important. For the astrology class, about how long does that take for somebody to actually be able to be an astrologer?
Well, probably it's going to take about a year if they go through all the classes. We have different levels, like astrology level 1, level 2. So if you follow them all, you could probably do it within a year. And I think, you know, that's pretty typical of most astrology programs if you really want to learn it. I mean, I've been studying astrology for 10 years, and I still consider myself still a student of it. So I think it's just such an in-depth science, and you learn so much by practice and exploration that I think 1 year is to get the basics, and then through practicing and ongoing study, you really begin to grasp it at a deeper level. But hopefully, you know, within a year, our program will get somebody off and running, you know, to be a good astrologer.
A lot of times people will read that daily horoscope. How close can that usually be?
Well, you know, the thing with the daily horoscopes is they're just looking at the sun sign. So, for example, everybody who's a Scorpio, this applies to you. And so, you know, it's only taking into account a small portion of the astrology chart because we have, you know, 9 other planets to consider in addition to the sun, and the placement of the sun and all that has an effect on a particular person's chart. So, when you read your daily horoscope, sometimes it might be right on, because perhaps for your chart configuration, it is going to influence you that way. So I think in general terms, you know, it can be good for giving people generalities. But I really recommend somebody, if they really want to know what's up and coming for them, to go to a professional astrologer and have done what's called a progressive chart, which looks at your chart at this particular time in your life. And they can give you a detailed account of what's in store for you for the coming year and how the current planetary energies will specifically influence your chart. That's really the best and the most accurate way, I think, to do justice to astrology is that way, and that's what I do for people. Also, on your birthday, the energies change, and that's what we call a solar return chart. And so a lot of times people will come to me on their birthday and say, okay, what's going to happen over the next year? So we look at birthday to birthday, what are the energies? And that's, again, one of the best ways to get a detailed, accurate account.
How many different kind of charts are there?
Oh, let me see. I've never actually counted. In addition to the two that I just mentioned, there's also what's called different types of relationship charts. One is a synastry chart where you take two people's charts and you combine them to see how they affect each other. So this is very popular for couples that want to understand their mate better. And we look at how the energies of each chart affect the other. It's a wonderful way to really learn about, how to understand where another person's coming from and then how when the two of you together, how the energy combines. In addition to that synastry chart, we have what's called a composite chart, which is actually when you take two people's charts and you combine them, you make a third chart, which is the relationship. So it's like when we talk about a relationship, we often say, there's the man, the woman, or the woman and the woman, or the man and the man, and then the third element is the relationship. So there's really three people in the relationship, and this chart really shows what's the purpose of these two people coming together. It's fascinating and very insightful. Let's see, what other kinds of charts are there? There's charts you can look at as far as lunar eclipse charts, lunar return chart, as well as the solar return chart. Let's see, those are some of the more popularized charts. And, of course, there's the basic natal reading chart, which looks at, from the moment you were born, what's the imprint based on the configuration in the sky at the moment you were born. And I always recommend to people, no matter what, chart they're looking for, to start always with a natal chart, because that's going to give you really an understanding of who you are. And all the other charts, whether it's a relationship chart, a progress chart, all those are always in relationship to the natal chart. So you've got to understand that basic natal chart in order to understand the different charts. Another neat chart that people like to get is what we call a locality chart. And that's where if somebody's thinking of moving, and let's say they live in Chicago right now, and they say, I'm thinking of moving to Colorado. Would the energies in Colorado be conducive to my business and my growth? And so you can actually look at the their chart in relationship to the grids of Colorado to see if it would be conducive for them. And so that's very beneficial when somebody's looking to, reestablish their business somewhere else. And that's what we call the locality chart.
Do you think a family would benefit by having a chart done for each person and then they add a chart to see how they relate in each other's lives or why they're even in each other's lives?
Oh, yes. That would be the relationship chart that I was talking about. And for family members, that's an excellent way to, if you're having problems with your kids or whatever or anybody, to, first understand where they're coming from so you know how to approach them. That's one of the focuses I teach is, if you understand someone's astrological influences, you're not going to try to mold them and change them the way you want to be, but you're going to work with where they're already at and their influences. So that's for families. That's an excellent thing to do.
Hey, I think that would help out a lot of people, actually. Especially today. And I hate to keep talking about just today, but you take a look at all of the kids and all of the killings that are going on and all the kids that are killing kids. And I mean, it's just amazing and sad that it continues to go on. And I would think that if people really understood themselves better and what family they're in, that could probably help them out tremendously.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're obviously very troubled and looking for guidance, and nobody's giving it to them in the traditional system. And so I think the only other route to go is the metaphysical. That's the only place they're really going to get the answers that they're looking for.
Yes, yeah, I totally agree with that. that's why, you know, I put together the foundation I did, because it's needed. This is like a time that it's needed. And hopefully people will start to understand a little bit more about the metaphysical world and how important it is to themselves and how important it's been throughout all of history.
Oh, yeah. You know.
When people talk about the year 2012, have you done any astrology check on it to see maybe what might be going on during 2012?
You know, that's really interesting. I haven't, Nancy. You just planted that seed in my mind, and I'm thinking I'm going to do that, because we actually have shown the movie called The Mayan Calendar at our school several times, which is a whole discourse on what are the changes coming and what's going to be coming forth. So I'm a firm believer that that is going to be a big shift in the world. And so astrologically, it would be very interesting to get further insight onto what kind of shift it's going to bring.
Yeah, because see, everybody's talking about the year 2012, but in my visions as a child, they all started during 2010. And as a child, I kept going, well, you know, it's 2010. It's gone a long, long time ago from now. You know, what does it mean? You know, but it's being shown to me every day as every day goes on what my visions were showing me. And a lot of it's not going to be real pretty from what I've seen in my visions. And it doesn't mean my visions have to be exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
But without a lot of changes that people have basically refused to do because they didn't even know about it, or it's all come kind of, you know, right now, this is the time you got to do this. You know, and people, they just look at you like, yeah, well, we've been here for so many years. What difference could it make? But there will be some really drastic changes coming, and I really believe that. And not all of them are going to be really pretty either.
Well, yeah, I think you know, hit the nail on the head when you said, you know, for certain people who haven't made the changes they need to, because I think people who are, you know, following their mission in line with soul and so forth, I think they're going to be able to glide through those changes pretty smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, change always, you know, has that sense of disruption and things, but I think if you're on the metaphysical path and you accept change, I think for some it'll kind of be a breath of fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
And for others, you're definitely right. I think it's going to be really hard. A lot of people are going to check out beforehand just to avoid it because they can't vibrate at that energy level. And, you know, one of the things that we were discussing is that already we're beginning to see that this energy is speeding up, which makes people feel very stressful. And one of the things everybody talks about these days is, oh, my gosh, I'm so stressed out. I mean, I even feel that way sometimes. And I meditate and do all those kinds of things. And I think that one of the things that we're experiencing is because it's not that actual time is speeding up, but the vibration on the earth is speeding up, which is a good thing. But if you're not in tune and in flow, you can begin to feel stressed more so than in the past. And I think that that's just going to keep increasing for people. So there's going to be so much of a need for us to sit, reflect, and to meditate, because things are going to be moving so much quicker. If we don't take that time to meditate and reflect, we're really going to feel out of balance physically as well as mentally and emotionally and spiritually.
Do you think maybe that the energy speeding up like it is one of the main causes for the shift with the energy, as far as, like I mentioned earlier, how the kids are killing kids and everybody seems to be so discord, you know, out of discord here? And it's like, you know, you look at everybody and you wonder why a child would take a gun to school and just start blasting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that definitely could have something to do with it, because, again, especially for a child experiencing the energies today, that heightened sense of stress, and, you know, if they're not taught to meditate and have no tools to work with it, their little bodies are going to, you know, feel it more than an adult, perhaps, and they could do something crazy, like, you know, bring a gun to school or something. So I think that definitely has a part in it, sure.
Have you looked at the astrology chart with, like, the wars that have gone on over in the Middle East?
Well, I have, in terms of looking at it from the astrological age that we're in and that we have come from. And I think that explains a lot. So, for example, we're in the age of Aquarius, and every astrological age lasts 2,000 years. So we have just been exiting out of the Pisces age, which was 2,000 years. And so the whole essence of Pisces energy was about believing in something and wanting to follow or believe a higher calling, a higher belief. And so people look to churches. They look to religious leaders to guide them and lead them. And so that's why over the past 2,000 years, we saw a lot of religious wars and a lot of, churches popping up, all kinds of things like that. That was the age of belief. Now, and it's a little hazy as to when exactly the change occurred into the age of Aquarius, but we're definitely in it now. And Aquarian energy is all about self-responsibility. This energy says, you know what, I don't want to just believe in something. I want you to teach me. I want to know the tools so that I can lead myself. Very different energy. And so some of the things you can see in relating to the war that you asked me about is that the countries are having war with, like Iran or Iraq, are countries that are still in the Pisces age, because if you look at them, it's one leader and everybody blindly follows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the people are kept in the dark and they're just putting their belief into one person. And so you have a lot of what we call those tribal societies where it's still based on a very undemocratic system. And then the United States is really the Aquarian energy, because we're democratic in the sense that the people have more tools, they have awareness, they have greater ability to access knowledge and information and to guide themselves. And so here we're representing this new energy, and then you have these other countries that want to see in the Pisces age, where people just blindly follow. And so we're having conflicts with those countries because they're not moving out of that age, and it's time to move on. So I think that, because we are definitely representing the Aquarian age, I think we will be in conflict with a lot of countries that are resisting the movement into the Aquarian age.
And my only problem I have with that is that we then act like bullies and try to force that, and I don't know if that's the best way to do things.
Well, sure. I mean, we can always, look at it from a political standpoint and, whether or not we, agree with how it's going on. I think just the deeper thing is that the energies are moving towards more self-direction for people in general.
Yeah, again, I think that's real important because, like you said, people just, they start following, and it's like all of a sudden they don't have a mind. They don't know what energy and what power they really have at this point, and it's like they let it go. They let somebody else take it, and it's like, no, wake up. Knock on your little head. Wake it up.
Yeah.
So some of the other classes that you teach there, now you talked about the astrology, and we talked a little bit about reincarnation. You also teach meditation, right?
Yeah.
Okay. When it comes to meditation, a lot of times people go, well, I really don't know how to do that, and I tend to fall asleep, or I don't know how to start it. Is there something that you can maybe tell the listeners to kind of help them at least do a little bit of it?
Sure. Well, there's a lot of places to start. The first one, like I said, is that before we even teach anybody meditation, we teach them concentration, which is the basics of how to focus your mind, whether you're focusing on a candle flame, whether you're focusing on a project. It's that ability to hone your attention into something. Once you can do that, then that opens the doorway to meditation. So that's the first step. Then I would suggest, for some people, it's easier to start in a group meditation, because in the group meditation, you're getting the energy from everybody. And so a lot of times you're less apt to fall asleep or nod off and things like that, because the group energy does definitely have a pull. And I find, myself, a lot of times group meditation, I go really deep, depending on the group, of course, that I'm with. So that's another thing that people can try, as opposed to starting off just on their own. Then I would say start off in little blocks of time. People sometimes think, oh, I don't have a half an hour. Well, you can start off with 5 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm.
And then work yourself up, and before you know it, you will be doing a half an hour. But, it's taking baby steps. Set a timer, do 5 minutes. The other thing is that you need to find your ideal time for meditation. You can read all the books in the world that say, well, the best time to meditate is this or that. But you only really know your body cycle and your best time to meditate. So whether that's first thing in the morning or last thing at night, you have to try to kind of experiment and find different times of the day where you're just more apt to go deep. There are those certain what we call bewitching times, like between 5 and 6 p.m. That's one of the times where the energies are conducive to meditation. There's some other times, off the top of my head, I don't remember what they are, but there's a couple times just from an earth standpoint, that the energy is a little bit better for meditation. And people can try those times out first. Definitely meditating on an empty stomach is better than on a full stomach. You know, if you got this full load of food, you're trying to digest, you're more apt to be sleepy and, you know, focused on digestion instead of meditation. Correct posture is really going to help people with meditation. You know, that's a big thing. If people have a sore back and your body is aching, trying to sit down and meditate is not going to be fun. So, you know, maybe the person needs to do some yoga or just physically release their energies before they sit to meditate. I know if I have all this nervous energy, if I go exercise a little bit or do some yoga, it's easier for my physical body to just sit in that position. So those are some of the things I think people can start out with to have a better meditation. And, you know, setting an intention for the meditation. It's like, you know, for anything we do, we usually have a goal, like, well, why am I doing this? And so, you know, people really have to get in touch with, why am I meditating? You know, I mean, just saying some esoteric term like, well, I'm doing it for enlightenment. Well, you know, what does that mean? So I think for each person, they really need to get specific about, why am I doing this? And so they, you know, if they, you know, don't want to do it one day, they can remind themselves of the purpose. Oh, yeah, I'm doing it for such and such a reason. And I think that'll keep people motivated to keep doing it. And I do believe in the value of doing it on a daily basis so that you kind of train your body that this is part of our daily routine, just like eating breakfast or taking a shower. And so the body gets accustomed to that. And that can take a little bit of time, but if you're diligent with it, you know, the benefits will come.
Do you think it would be good that children meditate?
Oh, yeah. We actually teach that in our MediCamp kids program that I was speaking about. You know, and kids, of course, they have some of the issues that I talked about, like lots of energy. So we do Tai Chi with them first to release some of that energy so they can sit and meditate. And yoga postures and things like that. I think that's one of the big things about kids is how do you get them to sit still. And even, you know, we teach that yoga and Tai Chi can be a form of movement in meditation. It doesn't always have to be just sitting and closing your eyes. And so we start them off that way.
Yeah, I think Tai Chi is really good for kids because it gives them, you know, form, and it still gives them the concentration that it takes. And, you know, rather than try to say, okay, now we're going to sit down here, now we're going to take 5 minutes, or they look at you like, 5 minutes, lady, are you nuts?
Yes, yes.
Now, the other thing, if people, again, wanted to get a hold of you, is there like a phone number, website, give out all the information you can about yourself?
Sure. People can first go to the website, which is www.intuitiveschool.com. They can call us on the phone at 847-462-8951. Again, that's 847-462-8951. Should I give out the physical address?
If you like, it's up to you.
Sure. It's you can contact us by mail at 314 Northwest Highway, city of Fox River Grove, Illinois, and the zip code is 60021. Of course, that's listed on the website as well.
Okay, now do me a favor and do it all over one more time.
All the three contacts?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The website is www.intuitiveschool.com. The phone number, 847-462-8951. And the physical address is 314 Northwest Highway.
Okay, and again, that's in the Chicago area.
Fox River Grove. Yeah, it's three words, Fox River Grove, Illinois. And our zip code is 60021.
Okay. Now, the next, do you have classes that are going to be starting, like, soon?
Yes. Well, as a matter of fact, we do our calendar three times a year. We work in trimesters, so our summer calendar will be coming out in the next week or so. So we only have right now posted through the end of this month, through the end of April, but we do have a big event that would be a great way for people to get to know our school, which is a intuitive and healing fair, which is on April 19th. That's two Saturdays away, from 9 to 6 all day, and we have practitioners of the healing arts and the intuitive arts, and people can come in and get, you know, little mini sessions, whether it's a numerology reading a detoxifying foot bath, whatever you know that appeals to them. We have about 10 different practitioners, and we have free lectures all day on everything from, you know, what's colon hydrotherapy to what does 2008 mean as a numerological year. So it's a wonderful day. I'd like to invite everybody to that. And the next class that we have we're actually finishing up dream interpretation, and then on April 28th, our class on visualization begins. It's a five-week class.
Okay, so for the class on visualization, can you explain that a little bit to the listeners?
Sure. Well, we teach that visualization is a process. And so we teach the different steps of visualization and how to go through them. And then we give them activities for them to actually put into practice what we teach. And that's also, I just want to add, an important aspect of our teaching is that we're not just method. We teach practice, how to apply the information practically to your life. And so people will do a lot of different homework activities and in-class activities where they'll be able to put into practice this method of visualizing. And so actually by the end of the class, most people have manifested something that they begin to visualize at the beginning of the five-week course. We actually teach a good analogy for our form of teaching visualization is that the mind is like a camera. And so, you know, you take your picture, you have to develop the film, and then you get your picture. It's the whole process. The camera is a very intricate machine, and so is your mind. And so you have to understand, you know, how your mind works. You know, if you don't know how a camera works, you're not going to get a good picture. The same way with your mind. If you don't know how it works and how to work with it, you're not going to get your end product, or if you do, it's not going to be what you really wanted. So that's pretty much what our course entails without kind of going into further you know, the rest of it, you kind of have to go through the course to really understand the different steps and things.
Now, in case people didn't get it, let's give out all your information again because we want people to understand where you're at and what you do. So give it all out again.
Sure. We're the School of Intuitive Arts and Sciences, and you can check us out on the website at www.intuitiveschool.com or feel free to give us a call at 847-462-8951. Our physical mailing address is 314 Northwest Highway, and that's in Fox River Grove, and that's Illinois. Zip code is 60021.
Okay, now, when people go to your website, it's easy to navigate because I was just looking at it to make sure.
Oh,
okay.
Good.
So let's do a little bit, all right? Everything is pretty spelled out there, and it's a pretty good website here, all right? There is a part, though, that we haven't really talked about, and that's the health part, because the health is very important to basically our intuitive body, I believe.
Exactly, sure.
So would you maybe like to explain why that statement that I made and you agreed with?
Well, basically, you know, we teach that although we are a soul, the soul is encased in a physical body, and so it's kind of like the temple for the soul. And so it does require care and attention, just like the soul, because if our body's not in good health and dies, well, the soul has lost basically its abode, okay? And so we do teach basic nutrition. We also offer intuitive health readings, which give information about a person's physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual state of health so that if there's any imbalances, they'll know the root cause because we always teach that the mind is the first place to look for cause. So if you have a sickness, the place to begin to look as to how you created that is in your thoughts, in your mind. Mm-hmm. And so we teach the whole process of that mind-body connection and how thought can create something like an illness. And so our readings are very good for somebody to understand the root cause of any disorder, whether it be a mental or emotional disorder as well. Like if somebody's depressed, you know, we tell what's the thought process that caused this depression. And so we also teach physical classes like yoga and tai chi that help the physical body. We teach rebirthing, which is a form of conscious breathing, which is just a great way to really open up spiritually as well as physically, because most of us don't breathe deep enough throughout the day. We just breathe shallow, so our physical body suffers, as well as the intuitive part of ourselves suffers. And so through this concentrated breath work that we teach and offer, people can just totally oxygenate the whole body, which is wonderful. You know, people actually go and pay for oxygen therapy when they can really do it themselves through rebirthing. And it just opens up places within your being that have guidance for you, have messages. A lot of people have contact with their spirit guide or angels or, you know, the creator when they do rebirthing. So those are the main classes that we teach in regards to health and healing. And then we also have various practitioners that do work in our school. We have a person that does shiatsu and deep tissue massage. We have people that do energy healings. We have a naturopath that works there. We have somebody that does what's called the life system, which is actually you kind of hook yourself up to a computer, and through that connection you can see what's going on in the body. It can trace parasites or whatever. So we have a lot of tools for people to assess their health and then make corrections. My husband Patrick also works with people on a one-on-one basis doing health coaching, which is a way for people to get back on track with their health. He uses our intuitive health readings as a basis for understanding what's going on with them. And then over a series of sessions with him, he coaches them on how to improve their health. And that's a wonderful service that we offer as well.
I think health is real important. I don't think people realize with the processed foods that we constantly consume and all of the things that they're putting into our food, how unhealthy it really is for our body.
Oh, yeah. You know, we really, a lot of us who eat the processed foods, it's just cardboard. It has no life force. So it is important to really eat healthy. And, you know, one of the things that I teach is that there are so many great supplements out there now, so many discoveries about what promotes health and healing, that there's no reason anybody couldn't live way past their 100th year in good health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the information's really out there, and if you just, you know, start eating some whole foods and taking a few supplements, you can just prolong your health and life by years.
Yeah, I think that's real important. I don't think people realize it. Just like I don't think they realize that a lot of the foods that the kids are eating, you know, the fast foods, also have a way of helping kids to stay unfocused.
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, kids eating a breakfast of Pop-Tarts and, you know, sugar-coated cereal is not going to help them at all focus. And, you know, what we teach is that everything is alive and has a consciousness. And so what you put into your body is either going to elevate your vibration and your consciousness, or it's going to lower it. So if you eat, you know, a fried hamburger with, you know, from a fast food place, you know, the consciousness of that hamburger is going to be very different than if you, you know, eat a or drink a smoothie of live fruits and vegetables. The consciousness is different, and so it will affect your vibration. So particularly if somebody's ill, you know, they're going to have a very low vibration in their body. And so one way to raise that vibration is, you know, get some good food in them that has a high vibration. All this has been studied, and, you know, information has been recorded out this, so it's not just some, you know, airy-fairy talk about, you know, consciousness of food, but it's real. They've actually been able to measure what's called the megahertz of food, and they've found that canned goods have zero life force in them. It's kind of like eating dead food. So, yeah, it's an interesting fact for people to know.
There's also, according to Reiki people that I know, a technique that they use with the food of putting their hands across it and sending energy to it that actually would give food more life source energy. Do you find that to be true?
Sure. I think your thoughts can change anything from the food you're eating to, you know, to the house that you're living in. So, of course, it definitely helps, I think, to pray over your food and to send a good thought to it, sure.
Yeah, because a lot of the Reiki people know, Nancy, you got to try this. It works wonders. And so it's like, okay, we'll try it, you know. We'll stay open and try almost anything just to see how it works. And it did make the food taste better.
Yeah, and yeah, a lot of people will notice, for example, the difference between, you know, somebody who prepared the food at McDonald's versus somebody who prepared the food at, say, you know, Kieran's Corner in Chicago, which is you know, a restaurant dedicated to healthful eating and things, and you feel differently after you eat the food.
Mm-hmm.
And an interesting thing is a lot of people talk about, you know, sometimes when you go to a restaurant after you eat, you just kind of feel sick.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it has to do with the people that prepared the food. Maybe they were angry or upset or didn't want to be there. And that consciousness gets into the food. And so when you eat it, it's not that, you know, there was anything physical, you know, like food poisoning, but just, you know, you just don't feel that great. And other times, you know, if you have a chef that loves what he does and really wants the people to enjoy the food and infuses it with love, you can feel great after a meal. I think that's part of why, you know, people talk about mama's cooking always tasting good. You know, when your mom cooks for you, you know, typically she puts a lot of love into that food, and so that energy gets into you.
Mm-hmm. And you also talk about palmistry.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of compared it to astrology, but there's a difference with it. There's some similarity, but it's different.
Well, yeah, with palmistry, we're looking at, you know, first of all, actually the lines in the hand are formed at 3 months of age in the womb. Pretty interesting. So
mm-hmm.
we recognize that the destiny or the thoughts and attitudes of whoever that soul was in a past life are already being recorded into the palm while the child's developing in the womb. And so when we look at a person's palm, we can tell similar things to astrology as far as personality, traits, gifts and talents and weaknesses, those basic kind of things, as well as a person's life path can be seen in the fingerprints. As well as, just like astrology, when I talked about the progress chart, where we can see what's going to be happening for the next year, with palmistry, we can also see what's going to be going on for the next year for us as well. So those are some of the similarities, and the differences, of course, is that, you know, they're different tools, so a lot of times they show different aspects
mm-hmm.
of a person.
That signal may mean we have a phone call, so let's find out.
Oh, okay.
Is there a caller?
Yes, my name is Elaine.
Okay, Elaine, do you have a question?
Yes, I'd like to, are you able to contact the other side?
Well, not in this particular show, only because we're not talking about that, but I think, now correct me if I'm wrong, but in your intuitive school, do you guys teach something like that?
Well, we actually do. We have a class that it's called Visiton Sessions, and we have a couple that teaches people how to contact the hereafter. They also just do sessions with people where they contact somebody on the hereafter for that person. And that class is the second and fourth Thursday of the month at 6:30 p.m. And so that if that interests you, you can, if you're local, can come to that class.
Where is it located?
We're in Fox River Grove, Illinois.
Oh, I'm in New Jersey.
Oh, well.
Well, what might happen, though, is when you guys start to do online classes, that might be one of them, maybe.
Yeah, hopefully that might be something that they could do online. I'm not sure.
Okay, so for tonight, we're not, but I'm going to have her give out all of her information again. So jot it down. And then you can check back to her website every now and then to see what classes she's going to be offering
for you. Do you know what the website is? I don't have a
computer. We're going to do it right now. So why don't you give them all the information again?
Sure. The website is www.intuitiveschool.com.
Intuitive School?
Uh-huh.
.com.
And our phone number is 847-462-8951.
Okay, and tell me, when people pass on to the other world, is it possible I can talk with them and they can hear me?
Oh, sure, they hear us all the time.
In other words, it's easy for them to hear us, but it's hard for us to hear them?
Yeah, that's pretty much the way it works.
Okay, I have a question to ask. Now, Michael Landon, I read about Michael Landon, that way when he passed on, he was able to communicate with his daughter from the other side. She
mm-hmm.
said that she could hear him. He actually speaks with her, Michael Landon. She can hear him.
Uh-huh.
Now, I got it very close with my mother. Why is it that she's able to hear him, and why can't I hear my loved ones on the other side?
Well, there's a lot of reasons for that. A lot of times somebody who's done prior meditation and things like that, it's easier for them to hear on the other side. that's probably the main reason. I think it's just practice and being able to open up and hear, whether it's from your own inner self or from somebody who's passed on.
See, and here's what I will pick up real quick from you. A lot of times when somebody is angry or they're upset that a loved one died, it tends to make it a lot harder for that energy to come through. So you're going to have to relax with what you're feeling and how you really want this to happen so bad, and just kind of stay relaxed, and you'll see it'll finally start to come through, okay?
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Are they aware of our emotions on the other side?
All the time. You take care, okay? We're almost done with
okay.
the show, so I'm going to let
Thank
you go,
you
okay?
Much.
Thanks for calling. Don't go away, Kathy.
Thanks. Oh, I'm here.
Okay, now we're going to give it out one more time because we have just enough time to give out your information one more time.
Sure. We're the School of Intuitive Arts and Sciences. We're on the web at www.intuitiveschool.com. You can reach us by phone at 847-462-8951. Our physical mailing address is 314 Northwest Highway, and the city is Fox River Grove. That's in the state of Illinois. Zip code is 60021.
Great. Catherine, it's been great talking with you, and I hope a lot of people go to your site, which I'm sure they will, because like I said, it's a good site. It's very easy to navigate. It's nothing that takes a rocket scientist. Believe me, I know, because I'm not a computer person. But I would like to thank you for being on the show. It was very, very enlightening, and I wish you the best with the school, and we'll talk again soon.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Nancy.
You're very welcome. I'd like to thank you, all the listeners. May God bless all of you. Have a great week. Take care, and we'll talk soon. Bye now.